All right. Now, tonight we're going to go back to Luke. I'm going to talk about the moods of Mary. Now, ladies, don't get offended by this, but the moods of Mary are actually in the scriptures. And I'm going to show it to you tonight. Some of it's a stretch. But I hope I do better tonight than I did Sunday morning. Delaney saw me. See, it was at supper Monday night. She said, "What was up with your sermon on Sunday morning?" I said, "I don't know. What do you think?" She said, "Well, your points were good." But she said, "You were in your notes the whole time." And I told her, I said, "You know, David Jeremiah, he looks like this most of the time." And I said, "The older you get, that's how it is." I said, "Well, did I lay a brick?" She said, "Well, you can do a lot better." And she said, "The sermon that you did was very, very complicated. And you tried to cover too much in one message." And you know what I said? Like every good husband, I do better next time. All right? So look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. By the way, she taught Sunday school over in our other church. She taught the joy class for years. She forbade me to ever listen to her teach. And they live happily ever after. In verse 26 of Luke chapter 1, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, the town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words. There's a mood. And wondered what kind of greeting this might be, but the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and you'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. And the angel answered and said, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. And we'll cover through verse 38. As we go there, and then we'll go over just a little bit further in Luke. True story, back in West Texas, back in the 1970s, there was a man that found himself in trouble with his family. He was very busy with his profession, and he hadn't had time to help the family decorate for Christmas. They had talked him into taking plywood and cutting out the word Noel. And then they said, "Dad, we want this lit." So he got out in his shop and he put lights all in here. So when you turned it on in the darkness, it would spell out Noel. Well, he got it made and he got busy again. It was closer to Christmas. His family got mad at him. So he said, "Well, today I'll get that on the roof." And he said it was very difficult going up the ladder with each letter of Noel. That night, they were all in anticipation. He pulled the switch, and it said Leon on top of his house. You know, sometimes we get the message of Christmas all backwards. Ladies and gentlemen, Mary could not get the message of Christmas backwards because God sent an angel to give her the message. Can you imagine the mood swings that she experienced? I did a little research, and according to the American Pregnancy Association, mood changes during pregnancy can be caused by physical stress, fatigue, changes in your metabolism, or by hormones of estrogen and progesterone. Significant changes, they said, in your hormone levels can affect the level of your neurotransmitters, which are brain chemicals that regulate your mood. So mood swings are especially experienced by an expectant mother in the first trimester of the pregnancy, between 6 and 10 weeks. And then again in the third trimester, your body prepares for birth. Now the APA recommends that every expectant mother do the following to help control mood swings. Number one, get regular physical activity. Second thing they said is eat well, spend time with your spouse, take a nap, go for a walk, see a movie with a friend, don't be so hard on yourself, and try meditation. Well, as we look at the account of Mary and the birth of Jesus, we find a lady who's experiencing mood swings. First of all, write down she was pondering the news. She's pondering the news. When we meet her in Luke chapter 1, it says here that she was pondering this after Gabriel delivered the message. It was the first time in 400 to 600 years that there had been a word from God, by God, and of God. Now, after those hundreds of years, old Gabriel shows up in a little old mountain town called Nazareth. We talked about that last Wednesday night. And we read in verse 26, in 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Look at verse 28. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And after reading the news, look at verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled. It's a Greek word that means to be disturbed. It means to be alarmed. When's the last time you've been alarmed? I went home the other night, and I tried to check the doors at night. I got up the next morning, and our front door was unlocked. And the storm door was unlocked. And Delaine said, "I'm certain you must have checked for a package several days ago and left the door unlocked." Came home to eat last night and said, "Did you check the doors last night?" I said, "Yes." She said, "The front door and the storm door are unlocked. I'm sure you must have left the door unlocked. I'm alarmed." It means to consider, to reckon thoroughly. In other words, Mary receives the news that she's been chosen by God to be the earthly mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she is overwhelmed. Now, notice her problem in verse 27. Two important aspects to her situation. One, she's a virgin. Two, she's a spouse to Joseph. Three stages there we've talked about before. You got the engagement, the espousal that lasts a year, and then the wedding proper. So it says she was in that second stage of her commitment to Joseph. So when the angel of the Lord informs her that she's going to give birth to a son named Jesus, she ponders that personal situation because, number one, because of public disgrace. Here's a young lady, verse 18 to 20 years of age, who's the spouse, legally engaged to a man, and now she's expecting a child. Now, while there should have been excitement about this, there's also reservation, because in verse 29, she was greatly troubled at his words and then wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So she thinks about her personal situation. Not yet married to Joseph, but she's expecting a child. Now, there's the word virgin. She cannot conceive a seed or give birth to a baby. Furthermore, she's not yet legally married to Joseph. But then she discovers she's going to become pregnant. It would only lead people to believe that she had been unfaithful to her husband-to-be. Now notice, with great specificity, God declared through this prophet Isaiah, 700 years before in Isaiah 7:14, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Jesus." Now God informs Isaiah of the virgin birth. He says that there will be a sign. That word in the Hebrew text actually means there's going to be a monument, a marker. There's going to be a miracle. The birth of a child to a woman is no sign, but the birth of a child to a virgin is definitely a miraculous sign of the power of God. Way back in December 6, 2010 in Fort Worth, Texas, There was an atheist group that bought ads displayed on the side of their city buses. Now, here was the ad. Quote, this is right before Christmas. Millions of Americans are good without God. The man who was head of the Atheist Coalition, named Terry McDonald, here's what he said. The ads were not intended to undermine anybody's belief in God, but hope the message will bring comfort to those who feel left out during this time of the year. So I want you to know the Fort Worth Transit Council got so much feedback and such a backlash on that, they passed a ban on all religious ads on the sides of their buses. Somebody came along and on another city bus, they decided they would address this situation, and they bought this ad on the back of a bus for the atheists. What if there really is a God? I like that. It's creative. And the good news of Christmas, yes, there really is a God. He's alive. And he sent his son, God became flesh, fulfilled through the birth of Jesus to a virgin named Mary. Second thing I want you to see here that she's doing, first of all, she's pondering this deal. I mean, an angel appearing to you would shock you enough. But the second thing is, she presents herself for service. She's been informed that she's been chosen by God as a vessel to give birth to the Son of God. Included in the new several details that we find here, the angel describes his name. Look at verse 31. He's called Jesus. Verse 32, he's called the Son of the Highest. Verse 35, he's called the Son of God. The angel describes his nature in verse 32. He says, he shall be great. Look at verse 35. He's called the holy thing. Then the angel describes the notoriety in verse 32 and 33. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. But notice it says here, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what matter of news or salutation this should be. Verse 30, angel says, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And she considers all the ramifications, but suddenly God gives her a holy revelation, and all of a sudden human hesitation moves out. Look at this. First of all, she's saved to serve. In spite of all of her fears and all of her questions, verse 37, for no word from God will ever fail. With God, nothing is impossible. Verse 38, she said, we discussed this last week too. I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me. The handmaid, their servant. It's the Greek word doulos. And here she's just saying, I'm at your service, Lord. She's just a common person, just an ordinary person, a village maid, peasant girl, chosen by God, not for her ability, but because of her availability. And then she'd been chosen by God, but Mary was not coerced by God. She had a choice to say no. She went about her life. Notice she said yes. She said, I make myself available to your plan, your purpose, for your promise, and for your power. You know, I love people that want to serve God. I do. We've got a parking lot greeter out here. And he just feels called to look for visitors in the parking lot. And I can't tell you how many times that guests have said, I don't know where you found this guy. But man, when we stepped out of our vehicle and started walking towards the welcome center, he said, you look like a guest today. May I be a servant? I will take you to where your children need to go. Do you want the traditional service or do you want the dark side? But he says the contemporary service. We all know what that is over there. but he just loves to do it. I called somebody not long ago. We had a vacancy in a Sunday school class. And I want you to know they shouted on the other end of the phone and said, "This is an answer to my prayers." Months and months. This is not normal. But boy, it was an encouragement to me. I've seen some people serve in the nursery in our church for years and years and years after they've had children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. I just love the babies. I just love the children. And that gives the parents an opportunity to go and worship. I love people who don't think they have to serve God. They just do serve Him with joy. You know, one of the most expensive hotels you're going to go to anywhere in the United States is the Ritz-Carlton. And I'm going to tell you, they're all about the people business. Years and years ago, probably over 20 years ago, I decided to put together a little money and take Delane for our anniversary to the Ritz-Carlton in Atlanta. Now, our anniversary is December the 30th. It is cold. We got married on a rainy night in Georgia, and it rained for a week after that, too. That was a sign to Delane that she had married the wrong guy. But I want you to know, I took her over there about 20 years ago just to spend one night. Now, I never stayed at the Ritz-Carlton. I want you to know, from the time you drive under the shed, that Silver Creek, it's called the Porte Cochere over there. I can't spell it, but that's what it is. I want you to know, the bellman, he was out there to open the doors. And we got out. I couldn't believe it. They had a big heater outside in the Porte Cochere that blew down upon you when you got out of your car on that cold winter night. And so I should have known that was a precursor to melting my credit card when I got to the desk. "Do you need a bellman? We'd like to valet park your car. We have somebody on the way up to do turndown service to leave chocolate mints on your pillows. Is there any other way we can be of service?" And your refrigerator is stocked. And, of course, we didn't partake of any of the refrigerator. Coca-Cola would be $10. So we didn't bother any of that stuff. We were very careful. And, you know, I want you to know that from the time we stepped out of our vehicle till the time we checked out, there was somebody to accompany us and wanting to know if you were satisfied with your stay. You see, they emphasize you being served as a customer, a guest in their hotel, like no other hotel in the whole world. Now, most people recognize good service. Don't you love to be the recipient of good customer service? We recognize service is important. It makes the difference between what product or service we consider. That which we think is great, God says that in the kingdom, greatness is measured by your heart of service in His kingdom work. God's not looking for our objections. He's only looking for our obedience. God's not looking for our suppositions. He's looking for our submission. Now, notice the next thing here. She has a submissive spirit. Verse 37. The turning point for Mary before verse 37. She's filled with wonder. But after verse 37, she's filled with willingness in response to her doubts, fears, questions. She put the nail in the coffin here. For no word from God will ever fail. Nothing is impossible with God. You know, while the word nothing speaks of God's authority, impossible speaks of God's ability. How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? The angel said, Mary, don't worry about that. This is going to take place. God's already taken care of it. He has spoken. He'll do it. There's nothing that can stop it. Look at verse 38. She said, I'm the servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel checked out. Complete, total, utter surrender to God's plan for her life. Somebody wrote, when faith moves in, fear moves out. And after the tragic fall of Adam and Eve, God steps in to pronounce the sentence in Genesis 3:15. God informs the serpent that he'll put enmity between his seed and her seed. But see, the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. So that's the prophecy, the first prophecy of the virgin birth, Galatians 4:4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son born of a woman, born under the law. Common person, common place, the fullness of time, Nazareth, the word of God, the Rhema, had been spoken. Thus as he has spoken, so he will do. And Mary would be the one used of God. And she makes herself available. You know, there's an old campaign that's... Well, by the way, I'll just tell you all this quickly. You don't mind if I just tell you a little something every now and then. You'll see and hear this again. But Delaney and I went to hear Ray Stevens in Nashville. And he's still singing all his old hits. Everything is beautiful. Guitar's in and some other things. But you have to sit with strangers at a table if you eat. Did I tell you all about that? I told you. We sat with a retired federal agent named Jim. And Jim was very nice. He had his mother with him. She's 87. She had driven up from Destin, Florida by herself to Nashville. She said she has her own John Deere. She cuts 3 acres with it. When the storm hit, the hurricane, he said, I rushed down there to her. And she had already dug a drain ditch all the way around her house, get the water away so it wouldn't flood. She's a feisty little lady. About the size of Lester Brookshire's mother. Kind of reminded me of her. She was so sweet. And Jim said, well, where are y'all originally from? We said, Augusta, Georgia. He said, man, I lived in Columbia County, right there next to Augusta. The first 12 years I was in law enforcement. I said, I bet you worked for Sheriff Otis Hensley. He said, he was the best sheriff I ever worked for. And I said, we had a friend that was killed in the line of duty over there. He said, what was his name? I said, Tommy Hammock. He said, I did the murder investigation on Tommy Hammock. I mean, this is just a divine appointment. Mama's saved, found out he's saved. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, when I was with the Columbia County Sheriff's Department, had third shift, said I had to drive to the jail one night. He said, it was pouring rain, and he said, I looked off the side of the road in the ditch and said there was a car had run off the road in the ditch, not a cliff, in the ditch, and said they were flooring it, and still the wheels were just spinning so fast, and I thought, what in the world? And there were two men in there, and he said, I parked my patrol car, got out, took my hauled in the ditch, tapped on the driver's side window, and he was doing like this and had it floorboarded, and said the guy reached over and rolled the window down, and he said, son, where you going? Said the driver, said, oh, we're at a party. They sent us out to get some more beer. And they thought they were still traveling. They had it floored. He said all the water was gone from the ditch because it was spinning so hard, and they weren't going anywhere. And said the passenger, he was just kind of looking like this. And he said, son, you know you're doing an 87 and a 55? Said the driver, looked at the passenger, said, that's the fastest foot cop I believe I've ever seen in my life. But you hear this all the time. If you're going to drink, don't do what? Don't drive. If you're going to drink, get a designated driver. In other words, give somebody else control. And what he's saying here is this. As we look at Mary, give God the keys to your life in every single area. Let his spirit lead you. Third thing I want you to see that she's doing, and it's not just a mood, this is just an action. She's praising the Lord. First mood, pondering. Second mood, presenting herself. And here, we're going to find that she is praising the Lord. Now, the reason she is, I want you to go down to verse 46 and 47. Notice she realizes she's a recipient of God's grace. We don't ever need to get over that. Verse 46, and she said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Verse 48, she identifies two aspects of the gift of God's grace. The first one there you want to see, she said, "Grace has shown me favor." Look at verse 48. "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." That word "low estate" means vile. It means humiliating. And then the same words used in Philippians 3:21, where Paul says that at the resurrection, God will change our vile bodies. The word "servant" means there, refers to a female slave. So she's overwhelmed by the gift of God's grace that has been shown her favor. She was a nobody in a nowhere place with nothing to offer. But his favor, notice this poor little servant. The angel informed her, verse 30, "You found favor with God." And that describes somebody who's experienced a gracious act of God in their life. The choice of Mary for this divine event was not because she deserved it, earned it. God's grace is in her life. Remind you, the grace of God, what it's done for us. God has shown us his favor. We're nobodies, we're nowhere, and we're nothing. Dead, depraved, despicable, destitute sinners. God gave us something we couldn't earn. You know, when you go to buy an automobile, you see the base sticker price. And then depending on what you want, you know, they add this, and they add that, and add the other. And finally, we get that big old total down at the end. Some of you are going to buy toys for your children and your grandchildren. And you know, sometimes you see and say, "Batteries not included." Isn't that what you always see? Ladies and gentlemen, when we got grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we got it all. Then a revelation of his grace. This song here in verse 46 through 55, she said, Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Now on all generations call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name, his mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation he's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He's helped the servant Israel, remembering the merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestry." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months. And then return home. So here she is. And she's realizing, she's beginning to realize what God's doing through her. And she offers him praise. Christmas Day, 1959, there's a lady named Audrey Meyer who went to her home church in California. She was only 43 years old. And on that particular day, there was a Christmas pageant. Can you imagine getting people together on Christmas Day for a Christmas pageant? And the people in her church, they had the children, and they were doing a play, and they had a doll for the baby Jesus. And most of them had on bathrobes for costumes. And then the angels had on halos, and most of them were crooked because the kids are running around. And she said, "I want you to know that when the angels went through the room in the play," here's what she said. She said, "It seemed the whole room was filled with the presence of God." And then she said this pastor, their pastor spoke there at the end. And here's what he said. He said, "His name is Wonderful." Well, this lady was already known as a songwriter, but this just touched her heart. And they said, that night she began to ponder that play and the pastor's words. And said, while she was sitting at a restaurant that night, she got out a pen and a napkin on the table and she began to write these words. "He's the great shepherd. Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. And she returned to her home, and in a few days she had written that song that we sing. I just love it. His name is wonderful. And I want you to know that famous song of praise came to the world. The special encounter with her Savior during a Christmas service all the way back in 1959. Suicides are at the highest rate in November and December than any other time of the year. The other day when I was conducting a funeral, Barry Henderson told me, he said, I've got two in the North Chapel, one in the South Chapel. Three suicides at one time. What a tragedy. And one was a young person. What's your mood this season? Well, why not adopt a mood of Mary? She pondered the message. And then notice, she presented herself for service. And then she offered praise for our precious Lord and for His grace and all that He's done for us up to this point and all that He's going to do for us. And I think you'll catch the spirit of Christmas from the moods of a lady named Mary. Let's pray together.